Hello, listeners. If you're hearing this, I'm going to assume you're at least interested in money and understanding the economy and finances. And some of us want our kids to have that knowledge, too. Check out Million Bazillion, Marketplace's award-winning kids podcast that breaks down money to help dollars make more sense. A whole new season is out now. Million Bazillion is presented in partnership with Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Greenlight helps kids and teens learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. You can learn more at greenlight.com/million. And tune in to Million Bazillion wherever you find your favorite podcast.
It was amazing. It was totally amazing. It's amazing.
Amazing, amazing, amazing.
Oh, you can hear my glasses, my ice clinking in
tinkle,
my beverage.
Tinkle,
how
tinkle
appropriate.
Of rocks. Hey, everybody, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Welcome back to Make Me Smart. We are trying desperately to make today make sense each and every day on this podcast. Some days we win,
I would argue that by this point in the week, we're not even trying to make today make sense anymore. We're just here to goof off and have a drink. I'm Molly Wood. And it is Friday.
Oh, don't tell anybody.
Economics.
God, Molly, geez.
On tap. We're going to goof off and have a drink. Welcome everybody who is in the YouTube chat. Kimberly Adams is in there. She's having a nice simple Malbec.
That's awesome.
Drinks have gotten fascinating and
look at that.
Complicated. I know, totally. Racer 5 from Bear Republic, an oldie but a goodie. Some people have spring break right now, which is awesome. Peach Bourbon Splash. Touch of Haze.
Oh, look at this. Today makes more sense if you drink. The brewery t-shirt, Adam Fierst. It's from Kona in Hawaii. When we went out there, Kona Brewing, took a little tour.
Oh,
that was fun.
Nice.
Yeah.
Arthos 386 says, you should try every other day. Measured expectations. fair enough. Well, on Tuesday, you know, none of us is as smart as all of us. So we take some days off.
Yes. That's
to get
that's
some
right. Okay. So we're going to do what we always do. We'll do a little news. We'll do a little half full, half empty with assorted ramblings in between. And then we'll, you know, get out of your way.
Off we'll go. I for one, okay, am having, and I'm actually really, I'm quite pleased with this. It's delightful.
What do you have?
A little Maker's Mark and ginger beer. Keeping it simple.
Oh, yeah. Boy, today would be
nice,
a good, yeah. Today's
nice
a good
for the tummy.
Yeah.
Still no bourbon. Seriously?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm trying not to be weird because it feels like it would be boundary crossing, but I don't know how much more I can take.
So look, I just haven't done it yet. There's no look. There's no explanation. I just haven't gotten my ass to the...
I was waiting. I thought there was going to be like a big... thought there was going to be a declaration. If bourbon is is in the house, the kids go crazy.
That's what
maybe
happens.
It was like
the
a parenting
kids lose
thing.
Control.
The kids lose
man,
control.
I'm having a beer.
No.
I'm having a beer.
Yep.
You know, Leota May from Bailbreaker up in Washington State. Anyway...
All right.
Yeah, you know what? Here's why. No, I can tell you exactly why.
I knew it.
Because 3:30 in the afternoon, 3:30 in the afternoon is a little early to be having a bourbon because I'll be asleep by like dinner time. Because you have one bourbon, you want another one. It tastes so good. No, I'm an early bed guy, but I'm like 10:15, 10:30 at night in bed guy, not like 6:30 going, I had a bourbon and ginger beer. Come on, man.
I mean, honestly, that's just, I feel like that you get to a certain point in life, and by point, I mean age, where the literal best part of your week is that it's Friday and you can go to bed at 8:30.
Well,
I got no shame in that game whatsoever. But it is true. I consider just having like some bourbon on the rocks. But as you may have noticed in some previous episodes, I was like, that's a little too much. I'm just going to put a little splash in some ginger beer and try to keep it together.
We should pick like one day every 6 months where it's just no holds barred. Just let her rip, and whatever happens in the podcast happens in the podcast. And Donna and Sitara and Marissa can protect us if we make idiots of ourselves. Right?
I can hear their collective heart palpitation right now, but I'm into it, and I know you are too. YouTube.
So let's talk about that in our next meeting, shall we? But should we do some news here? Because I have a topper. I have a category heading for what is going to turn out to be our melange of items here, and these are all stories from the marketplace desk of this looks really, really bad. What were you thinking? But also it's substantively bad on so many levels. So I've got two, and my second one's going to bleed into yours. So I'm going to do my first one first. This is from the Daily Beast yesterday. They broke it last night that the White House, I'll just read the headline, and the headline is a tad pejorative, but still. Biden White House sandbags staffers, sidelines dozens for pot use. So apparently in the early days of hiring the Biden administration, some of the younger members of that administration who had been more adventurous with cannabis, shall we say, went to their potential supervisors and said, look, I've smoked pot. Is that going to be a problem? And those supervisors in the White House on the Biden staff, probably on the campaign, and then also later in the White House staff proper, said, no, it's going to be fine. We're going to be all right. And now
right.
the White House has changed its mind and asked for resignations or otherwise fired some of these people who had confessed to drug use after having been told it was okay. And there are two issues going on here. Number one, it looks just really bad for the administration to be doing this because you can't do one thing and say another. Number two, the entire reason, and I base my experience here on my own past having filled out the SF-76 clearance form and also applying for jobs in the federal government, the catch is they want you to confess and disclose so that you cannot be put in compromising positions and the Ruskies cannot blackmail you. That's the deal. Because if the Ruskies right. find out you use pot and your boss doesn't know, then you are blackmailable. And believe me when I tell you, when I filled out my SF-86, I listed all three times I'd used marijuana because I didn't want to get canned by the United States Navy. That's the deal.
Right.
And this is just, it's silly. It's counterproductive. It's not in tune with the times. There is a huge, yes, I understand marijuana is still a schedule, whatever the heck it is, controlled substance at the federal level. But let's be honest, society's moving a different way. And I just think this is a bad look. It's a bad move. It's bad policy. It discourages people from entering government service. It's just bad.
Anyway, and from being honest when they enter government service, which is even
right,
worse.
Right, right, right. Because it's really easy to just say, no, I'm good. I'm clear. And
right.
Yeah. Anyway, it just.
And what's really amazing about this is that it included, which I didn't know until you were just talking and I was reading the story, that it included people who used marijuana in one of the 14 states, including the District of Columbia, where it's legal. So they were like, following the laws of their state, doing what everybody in every state where it's legal is doing. And then, I mean, if you didn't can them for drinking wine, right? Like, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so bad on so many levels, substantively and appearance-wise. And I understand that this country has many greater problems than these, you know, dozen, 13, whatever it is, people. But holy cow, this is a bad move. Anyway, so that's my item number one in the, boy, this looks bad, but it's substantively bad. Here's another one. And this is where we get into the melange of you and me. So last night on Twitter, an Oregon basketball player by the name of Sedona Prince put up a video that she had taken of the training facilities for women in the NCAA March Madness basketball tournament and the men's training facilities in the NCAA March basketball tournament. And suffice it to say, you have got to be AYFKM. That's where I am on this. The women had like a yoga mat and six barbells. The men had the Taj Mahal of training facilities. And it's so bananas that A, the NCAA didn't understand how bad this would look, but also substantively AYFKM.
They did it. It doesn't even matter how bad it looks. They just straight up did it.
Yeah.
So it's so funny because I didn't totally realize that that's what Kai's Twitter link was about, and I came here loaded for bear to put these stories in here and talk about it. And then I was like, oh, good. Excellent. Yeah. Kai's got this tweet from Sedona Prince in here, so it's just going to tee it up nicely because, oh, my God. So then today, as the day wore on, like this came out about the weights, and I texted my brother this morning, and I was like, dude, I ordered half-price Peloton, and it came, and I got some weights with it and like a yoga mat. So according to the NCAA, like a whole team could probably train here.
That's right.
This is great. I have a home gym that's better than what they've got. So that was really bad. And then the NCAA was like, ooh, yeah, it's just there wasn't enough room to set up the women's one.
Right.
And then Sedona Prince, I believe, or maybe this Ali Kirshner, one of the coaches, tweeted basically a picture of like a giant, like an air hanger.
Right.
It's just like, no. And then it just went, and it continued to evolve throughout the day in various ways that were at turns comic and enraging and both, like the disparity in the food between the men and the women.
Yeah.
The disparity in the gift bags.
Wait, back up to the food. Yes, the swag bags, but back up to the food. The men have like training tables, like NCAA athletes get at Division I schools. Like the football players at Division I schools get like mountains of food. And the men's basketball teams are getting training tables and the whole deal. Women, I kid you not, box lunches.
Yep, box lunches. So all of that is really bad. And it is the year of our Lord 2021. And that happened. And then where I really hit the ceiling is when I read that in addition to all the pre-existing disparities that we have discussed in the year of our Lord 2021, they also gave the women the less effective COVID tests.
Oh, did they?
Yep. The men, the male teams are getting the PCR tests that take longer, but are by the FDA's own standards more accurate, while the women are giving the rapid antigen tests, which by the FDA's own standards are faster but less accurate. And let me tell you, the degree to which I feel so hard, the fact that they literally demonstrated how little they care about women's health compared to men's health in the same week when some misogynist and probably racist shot up some spas, in the same week when 172 Republicans voted against reauthorizing the Violence Against Women's Act, the part that really made me go like, you know what? I am done here with how much this country on just like in tiers, right? This country just hates women in various tiers, kind of based on whether you're white or black or Asian or whatever your tier is. But man, does this country just like demonstrably hate us? Like, how dare you? And the NCAA is like, this looks pretty rough. Yeah, you know, no. All I can think, though, is that the only silver lining here is the decades that this has been happening. And at least this is the year when it went on social media and people are like, you got to be freaking kidding me.
Yeah. So look, this is actually it's a much longer conversation. And look, you and I have a platform and we're making our voices heard, and however many people every week download this podcast, 100 and whatever it is, 1,000, honestly, I don't even know. They're going to hear this and get the message. What do we do about this?
Is it because of the yelling? Yeah.
Yeah. No, what do we do about, you know? It's so right there. And you're like, are you blanking kidding me?
Yep. I mean, I really
go ahead, despite all the yelling. Go ahead. Yeah.
I really do think that change is an incredibly painful process. And we are right now in this country with the reckoning that we're having around women, around people of color, around trans rights. I mean, the amount of just straight up unashamed hate around trans people, all hate is a disease, right? And it has been let out of the box and it's spreading. And it needs to be managed like a disease, but we also have to we got to lance this boil. And I think we're in the really painful part of the change right now where it's all erupting. But like I said, this has clearly been happening at the NCAA or wherever else for years, for decades, for generations. So at least now it's going on Instagram, it's going on TikTok. These coaches and these players feel empowered enough to go and say on Twitter and Instagram and TikTok, this is unacceptable, and have a whole bunch of people agree with them. So I think that's not nothing.
No, it's not nothing. You're right. And I guess we should take heart in the ability of people now to get their message out. I guess I'm just discouraged by the fact that it's a bunch of farty old white guys in Washington who have the power to make change, and as we know, won't. It's really,
we are going to get there. Like, I really have have to believe that because I am a woman in this society. Like, I have to believe we're going to get there. Otherwise, like, what's the point? Like, we are going to get there. And it is because people like these athletes and these coaches who see this and are like, this is unacceptable. And I'm going to take the risk of saying so. That's why we will get there. But wow. And also pay the athletes, NCAA. Side note.
Don't even go there.
Yeah. And pay them the same. Bam. Don't you even think about.
And, oh, please pay them. God. Yeah. Huh, okay. Yeah. All right.
It's bad.
Shall we?
When you see it right in the face like that, it's bad. Let's play a game.
It is bad. Let's play a damn game.
Don't play a damn game.
Half full, half empty. Drew's got the topics. We've got the predictions, responses, random mutterings. Take your pick. Ready, Drew Jostedt, begin.
Are you half full or half empty on the extended tax deadline?
Oh, I'm half full on that.
Interesting.
Yep.
Are you?
Okay, but I have a question, and maybe Kai can answer it. And this question will determine whether I'm, in fact, you know, all the way full. Are states doing it too? Like, is it only the federal deadline that's extended?
You should check with your own state's tax authority, because states get to do what they want. That's the way the federal system works. I have not yet checked the state of California. I'm banking on the fact that they're going to give me till May the 17th. We should say here, I'm half full, by the way, because this weekend was going to be spent doing my taxes, and now I'm not. Not only do you get an extension to file until May 17th, you also get an extension to pay. You know, in normal years, you have to file, but you can delay your payment. Sorry, you have to pay, but you can delay your filing. This year, it's all delayed till the 17th of May. So half full in a very full kind of way.
Yeah, no, I think it's really good. I mean, there are so much. It's not just because people are so freaking tired and the last thing that people need to do is their taxes. Just,
I know.
You know. And then there are so many economic disruptions. And then there are all these questions. Like, there are things about, like, CARES, retirement disbursements, and unemployment insurance.
Right.
That, like, the IRS hasn't even issued forms for. Like, this is also to cover their butts, not just to save us from a bad weekend.
For sure. Spare a thought for the taxmen here, because they are going to be working a very long couple of, like, till the end of May, for sure.
Anyway. Yeah, totally.
Okay, yes. So full.
All right, great. Next.
Okay, how about the Uber driver benefits in the UK?
Oh, this is so interesting. So Uber in the UK has been fighting tooth and nail, much as Uber here. And the British government came out the other day and Uber came out, right? Make sure I'm getting this right, Ms. Wood. Uber came out and said, we're going to give them benefits, we're going to give them minimum pay and all this jazz, right? I don't remember exactly.
I mean,
I don't think they did it
to be nice, right?
Right. I'm full. I'm completely full. What's interesting is we have been told that the Uber business model will collapse if this happened, and they're not.
And I guess now we find out. Yeah, it isn't. There was a headline the other day that said, you know, Uber reaped as a company hundreds of millions of dollars during the pandemic because its stock was up or going up as, you know, it seemed like people would return. And yet the government paid all the benefits to the workers who got unemployment.
Right.
Instead of this company or to these drivers. Yeah. Right. I mean, I think Europe increasingly is setting rules that will either be adopted here or will drive companies out. And it contributes to this, you know, ongoing question about what does a global tech economy look like? And will it increasingly be tenable for them to argue that they can't do it here if they're being forced to do it somewhere else? So, yeah, I'm certainly half full on the precedent.
Yep.
Are you half full or half empty on Amazon telehealth?
I'm still into the story.
Huh. Interesting.
So this week, for those who missed it, because it went by in, like, you know, the rush of all the things, Amazon pretty quietly expanded telehealth to all 50 states. I thought Amazon was just doing this for their employees. And so to discover that they're basically trying to just slowly roll out a sort of, like, nationwide telehealth service, I have to tell you though, and this may come as a surprise, I'm kind of half empty on it. Because Amazon, every time that Amazon has tried to sort of, like, stumble into health stuff, I mean, they pulled out of that, like, healthcare insurance cartel that they were part of.
With J.P. Morgan and Berkshire Hathaway, yeah.
Right, and basically we're like, gosh, this is like a super hard business. haven't done a ton with pharmacies. We'll probably find that telehealth is also – I mean, look, things related to health in this country are a super hard business, and so I'm just not sure that this one's got sticking power for Amazon.
Yeah, and I also think Kimberly Adams did this story for us yesterday in Marketplace. The question of, you know, do you want the company that sells you everything also selling you healthcare is kind of a toss up.
Yeah. So wait, Kimberly's in the chat. Kimberly, are you half empty or half full?
Kimberly, where are you? Oh my Lord.
I know.
Kimberly, yeah. Kimberly. Good.
I'm like, wait, she did the reporting.
I know.
Oh no, did she bail?
All right, we're waiting.
It's like the Golden Globes. She went to the bathroom.
Night,
all right, like, we'll wait.
Oh, we'll wait. Well, it's up our mic's not on in the bathroom.
We'll keep looking.
All right, anyway.
We'll keep an Somebody eye, keep an on, eye the on the chat. Drew.
Slack us, and Drew, yes, let us continue.
What's next?
All right, this next one is infrastructure.
Okay, so this is actually kind of also awesomely a Kimberly story. Not totally.
Yes.
But, you know, we
wait,
got
wait,
all
wait,
excited,
wait,
like,
hang
oh
on.
My God.
Kimberly is half full. She's back, half full.
She's half full. Okay.
Okay.
Oh.
All right.
Fascinating. All right. Well, probably trust Kimberly.
Yeah.
We got all excited. I was like, oh, turns out all you had to do for Infrastructure Week was just, like, make a bill. And then after that bill was announced, then Nancy Pelosi and the Democratic caucus was like, whoa, 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 whoa. Slow your roll. That was a bill, but it was not the bill. And it's possible that the bill is going to be part of the big, huge Biden Build Back Better situation. Right. So, like, not right this second, I found, frankly, hilarious. And as a result, I'm back to half empty on infrastructure.
Yeah, I think it's going to be super challenging. I think Biden is running out of gas on his ability to count on the goodwill that he has had for his first 60-something days. I mean, I think what we're seeing here is 100 days gets to like 50 in a big, bad hurry. That's what I think.
I mean,
anyway,
it's killed the filibuster or else, yeah.
Yeah.
Or reform it in some way. And I think infrastructure is not going to – it's so big and hairy – that it's certainly not going to go anywhere until that process is settled. Or, like, actually, the guy who wrote Kill Switch was on Maddow. And, of course, a friend texted me and was like, your guy who wrote that book is on Maddow. And so I had to go watch it. And what he was saying, because, like, we're apparently obsessed. But what he was saying is if the Senate takes up infrastructure before it addresses the question of the filibuster, then that will take so long and draw out all the way to like next November that it might undermine the momentum to reform the filibuster and be its own kind of morass, which might be why Pelosi's backing away from it some. I don't know. It was like a lot of politics.
Do you suppose, and look, this is a question for the constitutional scholars in our audience, but do you suppose democracy was supposed to be this hard? I mean, I understand they wanted some tension, the founders did. But I don't know that they wanted it to be this hard. I could be totally wrong. I don't really know. I don't know. Anyway, Drew.
Could just be like a complexity problem.
Is there one more?
Yeah, Drew. Keep us going, man. Keep us going.
That's right.
We got kind of
half full or half empty on Toys R Us.
What? Explain. What about Toys R Us?
Wow. So here's the deal. And I know this only thank you very much to David Brancaccio and the gang on the Morning Report. So somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but the deal is that the either the brand or the license or whatever has been bought out, and it is going to be rejuvenated after having been in bankruptcy and sold into private equity. Actually, sold into private equity, then bankruptcy, then sold about a zillion more times, and then Toys R Us is going to come back. Yeah, it's a long thing. I'm half don't care. That's where I am. Half don't care. Almost
I
entirely.
I think I'm kind of there too. Yeah.
Yeah.
In the words of my very, very wise niece, then 7, when she informed me of Toys R Us going bankrupt and closing, they got killed by Amazon and Target. That's what she said. Like a little business reporter. She informed me that she's like, Toys R Us is closing. They got killed by Amazon and Target. And to this day, I cannot say she's wrong. Half empty. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry, childhood.
Yeah. Totally true. And that's – oh, I guess we're done.
I guess we're done.
Drew decided we're done. You and I are like,
now that we've killed childhood.
Dun. Okay, all right. Anyway.
He's like, don't.
Who's really in charge of this podcast? Not the producers, not the hosts, but one Drew Jostad, who's got all the mentioned buttons.
That's right.
All right.
Co-star and button presser extraordinaire. Oh, man, wow. The chat went crazy all for a second. Yes. They say they're, by the way, half full but more digital than physical. They got killed by private equity and leveraged debt, which I guess I'll have to explain to my niece at dinner this weekend. Yeah.
Also, sadly, Sarah Schlosser, I am not singing. That's going to be the once every 6 months when we let her rip podcast. That's what that's going to be.
They're all here for the karaoke and he's letting them down. Let's be honest. We all knew that was going to happen.
Look, I'm an introvert. I'm a very restrained guy. I ghost out of parties. We all know this about me.
He does ghost out of parties. It's really true. But no one's in the room.
You have to strike me at the right moment. Yesterday afternoon was the right moment. Today is not the right moment. Do
you believe in love after love?
What are you?
I always do Cher.
What is that?
Yep, that's the Cher is my go-to. I know everyone's like his face is turning red. I know we're really putting Kai on the spot. Okay, we'll leave him alone. That's it for us. That's it. We're letting him off the hook.
When you think about it, questions. It's kind of ridiculous. I have the job I have. When you think about it for a minute.
Well, I mean, what we do though, really fundamentally every day, is go into an empty room and talk to a wall.
Yeah.
It's not totally that scary. Everyone thinks it's really scary, but like no one can see us and we can't see them. All right. Questions, comments, karaoke song suggestions, makemesmart@marketplace.org. Hey, record yourself doing your best gambler impression. Huh?
Oh, man.
And maybe we can talk them into it.
Come on. The lyric goes, you got to know when to hold them. And I'm holding them right now. They're being held.
I believe.
Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Marissa Cabrera. Tony Wagner does production stuff for us. Stephen Bion is our video producer. Erica Phillips does our newsletters. Also on Make Me Smart, explainers.
What a team we have. What a team we have. Today's program was engineered by our co-star, Drew Jostad, a.k.a. the man in charge of the whole shaboodle. Ben Tolliday and Daniel Ramirez composed our theme music. The senior producer is Donna Tam, and the executive director of On Demand is Sachar Nieves, both wondering why they gave us these mics at all.
Right? I mean, there's a case to be made. You're like, shush.
One of the earliest times I hosted Marketplace, I don't even remember what I said, but I know that now departed editor, not dead, left, Dave Shaw, was like, boy, who knew that all we needed was to give you a microphone and like 15 million people to make butt jokes to. I'm just assuming it was a butt joke. I can't remember, but
were you making butt jokes?
Probably.
Welcome to the Marketplace. Here's a butt joke.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.